Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
The Azar Foundation for Children of the World is an organization aimed to support women and children in need across the globe. We believe in empowering lives, strengthening minds, and providing programs that enrich health and education. The Azar Foundation was founded in 2003 and has been serving the world ever since. Visit us at our website at www.azarforchildren.org. That's www.azar4children.org to find out more information about our endeavors and join our mailing list. Remember, the smile and the cry of a child doesn't have any language. The Azar Foundation.
Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
Blaylock Dialysis Center is a convenient, state-of-the-art dialysis center in the Houston area, run by Dr. Panakin Patel. Relax in a comfortable environment while receiving quality care. Serving adults 18 to geriatrics, we are here to help you. Call 713-463-6611 for more information, or visit us at our website at www.blaylockdialysiscenter.com. Blaylock Dialysis Center, where helping you get well is our priority.
I want to show you something.
Each day around the world, 5,000 people are infected with HIV.
That was over 20 years ago.
Today, an estimated 1 in 5 gay men in major U.S. cities is living with HIV.
So why aren't we talking about it?
Today, we have the tools to make HIV history.
Let's finish what we started.
Because the world needs you to live.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. It is a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War. And until the ignoble and unhappy regime that holds our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, subhuman bondage, have been toppled, totally destroyed,
where everywhere is war. It's a war. War in the east. War in the west. War up north. War down south.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to American Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, and I think Bob Marley is going to have to reincarnate and redo a song and add America to the narrative because we're witnessing so many changes. Oh, my gosh. It's like a friend of mine, Rich Taffel. Please Google and look up Rich. He's the founder of the Republican Log Cabin. And Rich is very progressive in the way that he looks at everything. He has spiritual insight as well as very practical insights and how he moves his agendas and the stories of his political party forward. And Rich said something to me that touched me profusely. And Rich said, listen to me, Sister Jenna, politicians will go where the people are. That's just it. Doesn't matter how good or how not good a particular agenda might be, they're going to go to where the people are. I don't know if that's true anymore. I don't believe it. I think that we are at a particular age where there's such a lack of transparency, authenticity. And one of the things that we're witnessing is that if they can confuse not only the intelligent-minded people, but also individuals who are average in their thinking, but if they can confuse enough people, after a while you just give up and just say, do what you need to do, I can't figure it out. But when you've got over 20 million Americans questioning their health and well-being. And do know that I do support that I'm responsible for my health so that I don't have to rely on powers that be to say that they're going to take care of me. But when you're looking at leaders on the Hill who rely on their constituents to vote them in to support our voices and our needs and that they're not listening to us and they don't care about what we have to say, because at the end, if that bill gets passed, if Obamacare gets repealed and replaced with nothing, stock market prices will go up. The pharmaceutical and healthcare industry stocks is going to go skyrocketing high, which is why we're witnessing the stock market to go down a little bit, is because they're questioning. Just for it to shoot back up, is that at the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, it's not going to be about you unless we keep speaking up, we keep showing up on the Hill, and we keep letting our politicians know, you're supposed to be here for me. I'm not quite sure how much money you're earning. I'm not quite sure how much longer you're planning to stay in power, but we're supposed to be here for each other. And it really brings me to why this conversation with Daniel Laporte is going to be so important. See, Daniel's all about bringing spirituality and authenticity into the narrative. And Daniel has been invited by Oprah's Super Soul Sunday 100 special group and is a unique individual in connecting us at a very spiritual level and in the level that matters the most. If you stay tuned just for like another 5 minutes, we're going to get Daniel on the line, and I know we're going to be having a heart-to-heart talk here, because if I can't speak up about what matters to me the most as a voter, as an American citizen, and the leaders at VE is just like, I don't care what these people say, at the end of the day it's about money. It's about putting money in the pocket. I don't know if we've been sold out by our own people. I don't know if the almighty green dollar bill has been sold to a few who don't care about our country, who actually are anti-American or unpatriotic. I don't know. The narrative and the conversations have no transparency left, no authenticity left. And perhaps if we were to ever tune in more to media, it should be now. Because even they have gotten a huge wake-up call. There's so many pros and cons to what's happening in this time. But the fact that now movement for the Keystone pipelines are now being ushered through with our American Indians, I have to tell you, that's a huge one. So as much as it might seem like, wow, I'm not sure if I could hold all of this together, I'd like to invite all of you, my amazing, faithful listeners, let's take a moment and just get off the grid and Step Inside the Heart from my meditation CD, Off the Grid. Let's just pause for a moment and then stay tuned. We're going to go right to Danielle Laporte as we have a heart-to-heart conversation. Take a deep breath.
I invite you to become aware of the two types of consciousness that reside within the soul. Let us choose the consciousness of light over the darkness of past stories, the history that gets into our way. Let us now remember our connection to the supreme energy, the supreme soul, the being of light. For far too long, we have allowed the external forces to dictate our inner force. And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart, to be myself. I choose to no longer be under the influence of what the world tells me, what my parents have told me, my spouse, friends, or anyone who has been a negative influence in my life. In this meditation, I stand strong in the original, eternal, imperishable worth of the soul. I, the being of light, the soul of power, I step into the heart and I become a being of love, a being of light and goodness.
Everyone, that was Off the Grid Into the Heart by yours truly. We're ready. As challenging as it might seem, I think we're all becoming very much more in tuned with our own spiritual spark of light and hope and forward movement, because we all know by now no one's responsible for the way that I'm going to feel. They might irritate the daylights out of me, but I choose to be irritable. And even though my physical surroundings might be absolutely heavenly, still, at the end of the day, my spirit needs serving. And talking about spirit, we welcome Danielle Laporte. Danielle has been an invited member of Oprah's Super Soul 100, a group who, in Oprah Winfrey's words, is uniquely connecting the world together with the spiritual energy that matters the most. Danielle is author of White Hot Truth, Clarity for Keeping It Real on Your Spiritual Path, From One Seeker to Another, The Fire Starter Sessions, and The Desire Map, A Guide to Creating Goals with Soul. The book that has been translated into 8 languages evolved into a yearly day planner system, a top 10 iTunes app, and an international workshop program with licensed facilitators in 15 countries. If you don't know Danielle, you're getting an idea now, aren't you? So named one of the top 100 websites for women by Forbes, millions of visitors goes to DanielleLaporte.com every month for her daily Truth Bombs hashtag and stories, and a speaker, a poet, a painter, and a former business strategist from wonderful old Washington, D.C. think tank execs. She's done a lot of work for Entrepreneur Magazine, and they actually call her equal parts poet and entrepreneurial, bad, beep, 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 edgy, contrarian, loving, and inspired. Her charities of choice are Eve Ensler's V-Day, a global movement to end violence against women and girls, and Charity Water, setting out to bring safe drinking water to everyone in the world. She lives in Vancouver. Why are all the amazing people living in Canada now? But with her favorite philosopher son, and we'd like to welcome Danielle to the air. Hi, Danielle.
So many amazing people in Canada.
I'm moving.
Hello. You're welcome.
I'm moving. I'm telling you. I'm not quite sure if we met at Oprah's home. I don't think we did. Actually, we were at Oprah's home for her Believe team. I think it was about 2 years ago. And I know that you have done a lot of work, which is basically your own life story unfolding in front of your own eyes. I'd like for you to share with our listeners, Danielle, what is it that actually brought you onto the path of spirituality? Because I believe you were like in the world, you know, of getting it done and strategizing and moving the numbers. What was it that got you into coming from more of a authentic place?
I don't think I've ever been off the spiritual path. So, you know, I feel like I was awake as a kid. I was raised Catholic by two really young parents. My mom got pregnant in high school. So we're living in the country. I'm going to Catholic school. I'm being taught by nuns. In my Barbie dollhouse at home is, you know, a little Virgin Mary statue and my rosary. So like I was using whatever language was given to me at the time to be connected. So like the first thing was I love Jesus. And then the next thing was a connection with nature. And then it's the next thing. It's like, you know, you're 13 and you go to your friend's house and her mom, you know, she gives you the books. It's all the books that open the world. So then it was channeling and then it was Course in Miracles. And it just went from there. And then it was like the first guru and the first trip to an ashram. And it's never stopped. It's just worn different faces. I think my reason for searching is what's changed, but the search has always been happening.
It's interesting because we hear a lot of individuals talk about the call. And, I mean, back in the days when I used to run my two nightclubs with my sports cars and vehicles, I'm not quite sure if it was the call, but I get what you're saying. Despite whatever were my situations, so to speak, there was something inside that was having a conversation with me, in me, and it was definitely something that was more of the spirit, more of something extremely truthful, even though my physical surrounding didn't necessarily match that quiet voice. Mm-hmm. Would you say that you were also feeling something similar?
Mm-hmm. Constant. I mean, even while I was working in Washington, D.C., and, you know, leading a team was writing white papers to sell to the Pentagon on weapons of mass destruction or, you know, the AIDS crisis in Africa, I still felt like I was in a constant state of prayer. And it didn't, that didn't mean I was living a pious life. I mean, there's lots of rock and roll, lots of cigarettes, lots of real living, but I want to be connected. I mean, there's always the impulse towards the divine.
Wow. Love that. Now, you talk a lot about authenticity. You must be having an incredible experience watching the entertainment that's happening in America right now, where they're being conditioned to believe stuff that they just can't believe anymore because nothing about the story is truthful. And sometimes when you're trying to control masses, you've got to confuse the daylights out of them, that they reach a point of giving up. In your work, you speak about authenticity and about speaking the truth. How important is it at this time, and what would you recommend us to do in the U.S.?
Oh, God.
I know. We need help. We need help.
Yeah, we all need help.
Well,
I don't think it's all not true. So I think there are strands and fibers and punctuations of truth that are showing up every day on all platforms of social media and in the paper. The trick is to be able to pull out those strands of truth that you can feel with your senses. You know it intuitively. You can feel your system is alarmed. You're bracing for it. So you know the lies. On some level, you know the lies, and then you are resonating on some level with the truth. So, you know, I think the best thing to do is to take a deep breath the general philosophy here is to be able to turn to yourself and to the people you trust and to hone the capacities we have for hearing the truth. And all of those capacities come from the heart. They are all intuition and sort of almost a primal instinct based. How you get to them is up to you. I mean, my way of making sure that my spidey senses are sharp and my antenna are up and my, you know, clarifying my powers of discernment have everything to do with contemplation. So there's silence in my life. There's yoga in my life. There's clean eating in my life so that I don't have chemicals and sugar messing with my better knowing. It's about being able to think clear and not being in the fog. It's about hanging out with people that I resonate with, that there's joy with and happiness and an entrepreneurial spirit that's committed to knowing the truth and real news and making a difference in the world. So it's like, it's discernment and it's choices and it all comes back to me. So do I think that's truthful? Yes. No. Is that a policy I want to get behind? Yes. No. Whether it's Republican or Democratic or it's another party, is that you have to think for yourself more than ever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to not lose your own definition of morality in all of this. Because, I mean, even those of us who would consider ourselves to be on a path of spirituality, of, you know, mindfulness, of compassion, we are being tested like we have never been tested before to hold that place where we're both going to, you know, we're going to be both end. We're going to stand up and be very clear and very vocal for what we think is moral and ethical and just. And sometimes that doesn't look very spiritual from the outside. It creates a lot of disharmony. And there's a place for anger and rage that in this conversation that's going to burn away the deception and the injustices and, you know, kind of do the chiropractic adjustment on things. And at the same time, this is the bothness, the expansion, we have to practice what we think we've been preaching for a long time. I mean, what does love look like when you think the person in charge is your enemy? What does compassion look like when your neighbors are wanting something that you think is bigoted and hostile and not good for everybody? You know, we're really being called to know what our faith is.
Exactly. And as dark as it seems, I can't help but also witness what you mentioned, which was very much, I think, the power that our souls are being called to respond to, and that's the power of discernment. And I think if you and I have been untrue, disingenuous to our own journey, we're being tested, because if we find ourselves getting wrapped up in all the emotional debris, we're going, oh my God, there's something there sitting in here too. Mm-hmm. And we know that by now, that if we get affected, even as ugly as it might be on the outside, if that ugly is touching something ugly inside, it is saying something to me that there's some work here. And as much as we don't like what it looks like and what it feels like, I called friends all around the world, Danielle, and I said, my attachment is stronger than my love right now. I sort of need some help from my friends. And they gave all the correct answers that I needed to hear, which I knew were true. But there was just one. And it was Judy Rogers from Images and Voices of Hope. And Judy said...
Oh, I know Judy.
Oh, she's amazing. Judy said, you know what, Sister Jenna? We just weren't ready to see the decay of consciousness. That's all. Not
that's right.
This.
That's absolutely right.
It.
Yeah. This is a result of our blindness and our denial. And this is the result of the drug that privilege is. This is a very ugly wake-up call.
It sure is. Well, talking about ugly, a lot of us tend to question individuals who tend to be a little bit more on the introverted side. They tend to say they're antisocial or there's something wrong, which I don't believe that. I think some of the deepest thinkers tend to be far more reflective than, you know, extroverted. So you had a recent post It went on social media. It was about introverts, and it went viral. Share with us a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, on introverts and why this seemed to have touched so many people, especially now.
you
have
well,
no idea.
From, like, personal profile.
Okay.
I'm consider myself an introvert. I'm really okay with the conversation, but, you know, the delineation between extroverts and introverts. And, of course, there's a spectrum and a scale for all this. But some people say, well, you know, we shouldn't classify ourselves. And I'm like, but I am an introvert. I'm highly introverted. And I think, you know, it, me talking about my introverted nature and the dichotomy, it's like I'm introverted. I'm not into small talk. I hide from people. And at the same time, I am actually the most social person in my group of friends. Or one, I won't say the most social. I'm the party planner. I'm the one who says, we need to get together. Let's all go on a trip. Let's, you know, I'm the hostess. And I need to recharge in solitude. And I go to lots of parties. And I avoid as many as I can. But when I'm at a party, I talk to one person. And I want to know everything I can know about that one person that night. And I go and I leave feeling like it was a rich experience. I didn't need to talk to everybody. And I think the reason all those, you know, professions hit a note with people is because introverts are often criticized for being antisocial. And we feel guilty. We feel implicitly guilty for not wanting to engage. But it's not because we don't like people. It's just like a really natural thing for us. And honoring that actually makes you way more fun to be with when people are with you. It makes you more compassionate, makes you more loving. Getting fuel from solitude helps me be so much more generous in like every area of my life. So, yeah.
But I think that's important. I mean, we need to have meaningful conversations. There was a time in my 20s, you know, you could talk to like 20 people at a time in a party, and you went home and you didn't remember one person's name. And I'm like, what was that about, you know? And as I matured, I've realized that even as I'm in a public venue and I'm having a very important conversation with somebody, you know, the celebrity status, folks want to come up, oh, hi, I'm just not there, I ignore them. Or pray to God Antonia is near me to just let me have this very valuable time with that person. And I'll tell you this, Danielle, I walk away with such a deeper experience of that connection with that one person that I'd had with 20 people just going, hey, hi, oh, yes. And I think you will definitely agree with that, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think in that the oh, hi, oh, yes, can be a blessing too. I mean, there's room for all of it, but I'd rather go deep. Yeah.
I got it. I got that. Let's talk about your truth bombs. It's attract millions. What led you to being open to writing about truth bombs? Because I don't think it could come out at a better time than now.
Mm-hmm. Well, my truth bombs specifically are these just kind of one-liner wisecracks that go up on my site, and there's an app where I put them out on social media. And they started as, it was just a whim. And this was years ago, I was putting other people's inspirational quotes up on my site. And my friend said to me, people don't care what, people don't want to read other people's stuff on your site. They want to read what you've got to say. And okay. Mm-hmm. So then I weeded out everybody's stuff, just focused on, you know, my opinions. And, you know, I'm in the business of visibility and subscribership, and like social media is my tool. So we were going to create a special list just for the truth bombs, and they didn't have a name at the time. And my girlfriend said, well, she read one of them. She said, now that is a truth bomb. I was like, let's call it that.
Wow.
And that was just this innocent, yeah, that was the beginning of it. And then they just took off. They get retweeted, and we created a deck, and they're like this thing now. It's become a thing. My thing.
You know what I love, Danielle? It's when a moment of wisdom hits moment of silence, that this absolute acceptance from the minds of so many, it just, to me, validates that this is it. You know, this is a moment which the world is saying, this is it. this is it for me too. I know that you've got a new book coming up, a new book called White Hot Truth. You're into a lot of truth lately. Can you tell us a little bit about what's been inspiring you to do this book on White Hot Truth? Why that title?
Well, the title is a reference to the center of a flame. So the center of fire, the middle of it, most people refer to, like, you know, the blue flame. It's actually not blue in the middle. It's white. And that is the hottest point of the light of the fire. And when it's as that, when it's that hot, that's where it becomes intense enough to melt metal so you can create alchemy. And I'm really interested in, like, the purity of that, the capacity for change. You know, I want people to get to their white hot truth. And the book is, I mean, the subtitle is Clarity for Keeping It Real on Your Spiritual Path. Mm-hmm. And I'm really asking people to question their quest. And this isn't about how you seek spiritual growth. You can do it any way you want. You can kneel. You can read scripture. You can go to spin class. You can dance. You can pray. Whatever works for you. It's about why you're seeking. And in my experience, what I see happening so much in the personal development space, and I have been to dozens of workshops. I have spent many hours on a meditation cushion. I have done so many of the courses, you know, is that we're trying to get better at getting better. And self-help can so often become self-criticism. And we're still, at the end of the day, even though we look free and we look liberated and we look so holistic, at the end of the day, we're still trying to get points from somebody, from some, you know, whether it's our old version of God that we grew up with, or it's some cosmic council that, you know, that we've replaced our authoritarian godhead with. We still just want to be like, and that's cool, you know, it's natural, it's part of giving your power away so you can take it back, and it's not how you get to freedom. That is not liberation. That is not where your power comes from. Your power comes from searching because you've got this internal hunger and you want to use what you find and create your own answers and your own path. So yeah, that's White Hot Truth.
Can I tell you how touching that was? I just got back from India and there were 103 countries on the mountaintop, just a few of us. And these were all the heads of the Brahma Kumaris, our spiritual movement. And I have to tell you, I saw the most beautiful people, and which I always do, but you're changing all the time, even though you might even be hearing the same information. It's changing you. It's changing you, or you're just changing. I don't know which one. But I have to tell you that when I got back, I had a moment of just reflecting on my time in India. And at the end of the day, Danielle, I said to myself, you know what, Jen, if you treat people with respect and kindness, that's your spiritual power. That's it. I mean, I don't know if there's some, you know, floating around the place at the end of the journey, if you're just supposed to be so evolved and in trees with your mind if you want to. But it's not. I think it has a lot to do with this energy inside of your soul that's so deeply connected to Source. And you can't help but if someone's really nasty, you somehow can only bring divinity from within you. And I have to say, I think this is what even America and the world is going through, is that we're being called to find our divinity, to find that truth. And I don't care how long you can meditate on a mountaintop, if you can't bring that energy into your relationships, that's going to be tough. You're going to keep sitting on that mountaintop trying to meditate.
Oh, listen, you know, one of my pet peeves with, you know, the spiritual space is when I read in someone's online bio that, you know, so-and-so has been a meditator for 25 years. And I think, I don't care, because meditating does not necessarily make you a better person.
Right.
You know, I know lots of people who are devoted meditators, and they're rude to the waiter, and they're just nasty and cranky. So, yeah, kindness is really impressive. Just basic kindness.
Yeah. I think so, too. And I think that might be what the prophets and the saints have been trying to remind us. Like, I don't know about how it's going to be in the 21st century when you all get there. But all I'm saying is if you give respect to someone, you're going to receive it. And perhaps that's your evolution. That's that's your space of spiritual power. Danielle, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the air today, and good luck with your upcoming book. I'm looking forward to getting a copy of that when you release it. But before I let you go, any more wise words you'd like to leave our listeners with before we say a big Om Shanti and lots of good wishes, lots of love to you, and I'm still moving to Canada?
Om Shanti, Om Shanti. Well, I would like to say I'm a big fan of Brahma Kumaris. So if I had to choose an organized faith, it would be the BKs. And to everybody, just this, that the best self-help is self-compassion.
I love that. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Mm. So I guess the website that we could direct everyone to is DanielleLaporte.com.
Yes, please.
Beautiful. Many blessings to you, my sweet sister. Om Shanti, and keep being truthful.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Sister Jenna.
Take care. Bye-bye. So whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, or what have you, there's a time that you've got to just come from that real place, whether it's on a mountaintop or by the valley or by the seas or just at home with somebody or with the waiter, please. Let's bring our best self forward, because this is the age of using the power of discernment and the age of bringing light into what we might say is a really an interesting time of transformation. I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with the beautiful Danielle Laporte, and please do visit her website at Danielle Laporte, DANIELLE, Laporte, LAPORTE.com for more truth bombs and her upcoming new book. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to love each other the same. I'm going to end today's conversation by our wonderful friends at Agape, Ricky Baez Beckwith, Ashe Ashe. Take care, everyone, and keep bringing your light into our country and into our world. And let us not give up too soon. Om Shanti. Take care, everyone. Here's Ashe Ashe.
My life is good. Good life. Oh, yes. Ashe, Ashe.